on the pages of IHS Fan Magazine, the Austin area's premier high school football preview publication, and the creators of the Horn Webcast Network, powered by IHS Fan. Welcome to Under the Lights, presented by ARS Rescue Router. Here are your hosts, Rick Epstein and Jeff Power.
Good evening, high school football fans. Welcome to show number 15 of season number 5 for Under the Lights, presented by ARS Rescue Router. Hey, we're Austin's longest-running show featuring local high school football. If you like area high school football, this is your show. For the next 3 or 4 weeks, we invite you to join us for an hour of fun. This week on Tuesday, the last 3 weeks, we'll be back to our Wednesday night at 7 time. My name is Rick Epstein. I'm the publisher of IHS Fan Magazine, Austin's premier high school football preview magazine. Do me a favor, if you haven't already done so by now, take out your phone and follow us on Twitter at IHSFAN. That's at IHSFAN. And we want to welcome my co-host since day number one, my good friend, back from his time off, 1 week off. Jeff, it's playoff time. You ready to go?
Hey, let's go. I'm ready for some high school football. We got big games, obviously. You get to this point of the playoffs, and everybody's for real at this point.
Absolutely. The man behind the glass, the pride of Oklahoma, Stephen Kabler. Before we get started, I want to dedicate the show tonight to a member of the IHS family who passed away on Saturday. Efren Sanchez was a great broadcaster, a great friend, and a great father, who, along with his son EJ, were the voices of Weiss Wolves football on the IHS Fan Webcast Network this season. Efren and EJ always made a point to call each other by their first names during the broadcast, even though they were father and son. Efren was so proud of EJ, and I know cherished the time they got to broadcast together. I want to play a short clip from the end of Friday's Weiss-Manville game, when Efren got a chance to express his thoughts and feelings about the experience of being part of the broadcast crew, along with the pride of a father for his son. Efren Sanchez, gone too soon. And now here's the clip from Friday night.
Down by Micah Gifford at the 19.
Yeah, and EJ, I'll just go ahead and take it a couple of seconds here to say thanks to you, Rick Epstein, Rodney Rodriguez, Alan Cepeda, all the staff back at the IHS Fan headquarters. What a pleasure, what a joy it's been to work with you, EJ. During the season, we call each other partner, but most of you by now have picked it up. EJ, I am EJ's dad, and what a treat, what a special treat. So blessed to be able to do this with my son. So proud of him and the voice of the Weiss Wolves. Hats off to you, partner. Done an amazing job calling these games. I hope everybody's appreciated. I know I am very proud of you. And just really glad to be a part of this broadcast and be hopefully a part of this Weiss Wolves family. I feel like I'm family. I feel like I'm a Pack Nation. And thank you for all the warmth that all the fans have shown me and all the social media bumps and everything else. It's been such a wonderful season and a great experience for me.
Absolutely, partner. And Pop, I do appreciate that. Hopefully we kept it to a level of professionalism where we didn't see.
And that was literally hours before Efren passed away, and we just want to wish the Sanchez family, you know, the best in this trying time. And in this holiday week, please hug the ones you love. Give a break to any of the divisions that divide us, and just be thankful for the true blessings in life. So,
well, profound words, too. Not only what you just said there, Rick, but Efren and his call right there. Yeah. And it just breaks my heart.
He was so proud of his son, EJ, and he cherished being part of the broadcast. He loved it. And, boy, what a gift to give to EJ that final day where he could be with EJ, not only during the broadcast, but all the way on the ride home. So let's continue with the show tonight. I'm going to dedicate tonight's show to Efren Sanchez. Each week at this time, we have our ARS Rescue Router Team of the Week. This week, we would like to recognize the Cedar Park Timberwolves. Coach Michael Quintero, in his first season at the helm of the Timberwolves Nation, and who will join us in just a few minutes, led his 6-5 Timberwolves into a round two playoff game against Angleton on Friday night. Cedar Park sprinted out to a 35-14 halftime lead and held on for the 45-21 win to improve to 7-5, and more importantly, moving on to round three. The Timberwolves were led on offense by quarterback Josh Pell, who completed 16 of 31 for 267 yards, two passing TDs. Oh, by the way, he added 67 yards on the ground and two touchdowns rushing. Other leaders on offense were senior wide receiver Grant Nichols, who had nine receptions for 130 yards and a touchdown, and running backs Kevin Adams, Tyree Nicholson, who each had, they had 13 and 11 carries respectively. The stingy Black Rain defense gave up a total of 324 yards of offense and just 125 through the air. Cedar Park heads to face 11-1 Katy Pato in Waller Friday afternoon at 1 p.m. Congratulations to the Cedar Park Timberwolves for being recognized as our ARS Rescue Router Team of the Week. And we have a great show tonight. We will once again to talk to some great guests, including Cedar Park's head coach, Michael Quintero. He'll join us in just a second. We'll also talk with Lake Travis quarterback, Bo Edmondson. He's a member of the IHS Fan Top 10 team. Dr. Steve Wilson from Orthopedic Associates of Central Texas will join us. And we'll get a chance later on in the show to talk with Hall of Fame broadcaster Craig Way. In addition, we'll talk all things playoffs. Now, let's head up to Timberwolves Nation and talk with our good friend, Coach Quintero. Coach, are you on the line?
I'm here.
Coach, welcome back to Under the Lights. Coach, you were a guest on the show, I think the first show or second show of the season, way back in August. Your first year at the helm of Cedar Park Nation saw a roller coaster for the Timberwolves in the tough 11-5A D1 district. Finishing the regular season with a 5-5 record, you then put the playoff hat on and have successfully navigated the ship to the third round. What are your thoughts on the season, and what are you most pleased with?
I'll tell you, like you said, it's been up and down, you know. Like I was talking to Mr. Powers earlier, man, we could easily have been 9-1 or 8-2. You know, probably what I'm most proud about our team is just their resiliency. I mean, we've been in any of the games that we've lost, we've been in every game. I mean, our kids have battled for four quarters, played hard. They've never given up. They believed in the process, and I can't ask them to do anything more. I mean, they're just a bunch of fighters, man. So, you know, we're still here. So, you know, that's why I tell them we're battle tested, and there's nothing we really haven't seen this year. So I'm really, really proud of the kids and the way that they've just persevered and just kept working and believing in what we're doing.
And Michael, you know, the fact that Pato, they look like the Katy Tigers. I mean, they're 11-1. They like to run that smash mouth football. But you kind of match up well against those type of teams, don't you?
Yeah, we do. I think we do. You know, we've had better success this year, which is so funny. We've had better success against those teams that tend to run the ball a little bit more, you know. So I feel really good about our game plan going into this game. You know, they've got talent everywhere, but you know, like I said, I think that we match up really well, and you know, we got to find out who's more physical, and that's something that Pato really pride themselves on. So it'll be a great test for us.
You know, Cedar Park is a perennial power in Texas high school football. The past 10 years. A combined record of 116 wins, just 23 losses, including a couple state championships, as well as a couple other trips to Jerry World. There are not too many programs that really match that. What do you believe is the reason for the unbelievable success out there at Cedar Park?
Oh, I think it goes back to just the leadership of the head coaches that have gone through Cedar Park, who had a vision, you know, started with Coach Ross when we came in 2006 and just started a program, you know, built a program that was built on hard work, you know, culture that was built on character, and the kids just, you know, again, just, you know, the guys that were there when we first got there just believed in what we were doing, and it just kind of trickled down to our feeder schools, you know, our youth leagues and the community itself. And I think that these kids at a young age are just, they're looking forward to being a Timberwolf when they get to high school. And I think that's something to say with a lot of the teams in Texas who have unbelievable programs. I think it starts at the youth leagues and it works its way up to the high school. I just think there's a sense of pride and, you know, what Coach Ross and Coach Willis did, and obviously Coach Avsic before me. So just a great vision of a program and it works. So I think the kids just believe in it. The community believes in it. And it's just stayed around. So it's pretty awesome to watch.
You mentioned Coach Ross. I think of Wichita Falls, you know, back in the day. I guess you've known Brent Britton for a while, and y'all coached together back in all the way back to 2001, and he's calling your plays on defense. I would think most people would think you were calling the plays over there, but you're actually more the position coach for the outside linebackers, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, I put a lot of trust into Coach Britton, and it's deserved. He's an unbelievable defensive coordinator. It's a guy I got a lot of trust in, and he does a good job every week game planning, and so I'm just there to support him. And I tell you what, being a head coach is a little bit different because you're doing more of the secretarial work, which is funny, which is hard for me because I'm so used to coaching a position. And I just went to him and said, look, man, I got to coach a spot. You tell me where you need help, and I'll coach because it's what I do. I love coaching the kids. So I said, you got to give me a job, man. So he said, help me out on defense. And I said, perfect. I'm gonna work with you over there then. So it's been a lot of fun. And plus the relationships with the kids is important, you know, so I feel like I have my position and I get to, you know, grow my kids that are there, not just the program itself, but actually the actual position group. So it's fun. It's been a lot of fun.
We're talking with head coach of the Cedar Park Timberwolves, Michael Quintero. And, Coach, before we let you go, first of all, we got to recognize Leander ISD and the great job. I mean, three teams left in the playoffs, Vandegrift, Rouse, and Cedar Park. Not too many school districts have three teams remaining. What an accomplishment that is. But before we let you go, you know, as a coach every season, whether you're head coach or assistant coach, you wave goodbye to a group of seniors and you say hello to an incoming freshman class. You've played a positive role in a lot of people's lives. What is the toughest part of your job, and what is the most rewarding part of your job? I think the toughest part, you just mentioned the secretarial duties, but maybe I'm wrong.
No, I tell you what, if you're asking me as a head coach, a lot of it's just the organizational part. You know, when you take over a program that's as involved as ours is, there's just a lot of organization that goes into it, but to me, it's worth it. I mean, the thing that I've got is a lot of support from our administration and our booster club and just the parents and community. So it makes it a lot easier, you know. And as far as Leander ISD, I mean, we've got a lot of great coaches in our programs. You know, I'm talking about all sports, but, you know, Coach Mann over at Rouse was with us at Cedar Park too. So it's funny, we've all had the same mentorship. You know, and then Coach Sanders over at Vandegrift, man, has just done an unbelievable job. Ever since I was at Cedar Park before I left, they were successful. So it just says something about the district that we're in, and just the support that we get from our administration has just been unbelievable. So it's just a great place to be, and makes me proud. You know,
yep.
And expectations are high, so that never goes wrong. When expectations are high, you tend to work a lot harder. You know, and you want to make things work. So it's been fun.
You never, never bet against the Cedar Park Timberwolves come playoff times. Good luck against Pato and the rest of the way, Coach. Hopefully we'll have you back on in the next couple of weeks.
Man, that'll be awesome. I hope so.
All right, Coach, go get it on Friday afternoon. I believe that game's at 1 p.m., is it not, in Waller?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Good luck, Coach.
Appreciate you guys. Thank you.
All right. It was Coach Michael Quintero, done a great job in his first year. You know, it was a little dicey there. There was a chance late in the season that the unthinkable could have happened and Cedar Park could have missed the playoffs, but they got in and they're doing well as always. Before we get to our next guest, let me tell you about Dave Campbell's Texas Football. Earlier this week, I logged on to my Dave Campbell's Texas Football subscription to get some great info about the playoffs. I spent about an hour going through all that info about the area district teams. The combo subscription is simply amazing. For $29.95 plus shipping and handling, you can purchase an annual subscription and get both of their print magazines each year and access to hundreds of premium articles and archives on their website, texasfootball.com. As a subscriber, you will be mailed both magazines directly to your house before they hit the newsstands each year. The website is filled with all types of predictions, archived magazines, and other great exclusive content. What a value and what a great stocking stuffer it is. Go to texasfootball.com and at the top left of the homepage, click on the Subscribe Now button.
It's time for Ask the Doc, presented by Orthopedic Associates of Central Texas. Each week, we will visit with a doc to discuss a sports-related medical topic. Orthopedic Associates of Central Texas provides comprehensive orthopedics, including sports medicine, joint replacement, spine surgery, hand specialists, foot and ankle, and physical medicine and rehab. In addition, they offer same-day appointments and on-site imaging and physical therapy. Visit them at OACTDocs.com. That's OACTDocs.com.
And we are so excited each week to have partnered with Orthopedic Associates of Central Texas for the fantastic Ask the Doc segment. And this week we get a chance to talk with Dr. Steve Wilson. Dr. Wilson, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Wonderful. Thanks for joining us on this Tuesday night during Thanksgiving week. And let's talk a little bit about, you know, when I was a kid, Dr. Wilson, you know, we played, I'm old, so I'm in my 50s, but we played football during football season, baseball during baseball season, and basketball during basketball season. Now it seems so many kids are specializing in just one sport and therefore exposing themselves to possible injuries through the repetition of just one activity. What are your thoughts on the most common injuries in youth baseball, for instance, and how folks can help prevent them?
Well, by far, the biggest problem in youth sports, just as you said, is playing year-round. And so it's overuse. It's usually not one particular injury. And it's problems with shoulders some, but particularly elbows in these kids. I mean, there's an epidemic increase in injuries to 12 and up of elbow injuries because of overuse. But I'm older than you are, and I grew up doing the same thing. We didn't play one sport year-round, and the incidence of these injuries was way, way lower back when we were growing up.
Yeah, it just seems like, you know, when a 10-year-old is playing 80 games a year, it just something, you know, and that's just every year. At some point, you know, something might give. I don't know. There's a lot to be said for playing all the sports. Obviously each parent has their own decisions, but it could cause problems. You know, thanks so much for joining us tonight, Dr. Wilson. We have really benefited from having you and your colleagues during this segment, sharing some thoughts on sports related injuries and how we can prevent them. Thanks so much, Dr. Wilson.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
All right. That was Dr. Steve Wilson from Orthopedic Associates of Central Texas. And now it's time for our player spotlight. It's the Covert Ford player spotlight. For over 100 years, Covert Ford has delivered its commitment to excellence to Central Texas with the latest cars, trucks, and SUVs. Visit covertford.com. And I'd like to welcome to the show one of the best area quarterbacks who is also a member of the IHS Fan Top 10 team, Bo Edmondson of the Lake Travis Cavaliers. Welcome to Under the Lights.
How are y'all? Thanks for having me.
Hey, Bo. Great having you. You know, you've had an amazing season. You've completed 59% of your passes, thrown for 2,409 yards, 31 touchdowns. What have you been most pleased with this season?
Honestly, just how we had a good turnaround from the COVID year to just a normal year. Everything's back to normal. So it's good to see how much you can grow in actually a normal year. So everybody's working hard, and there's been a lot of growth this year.
Hey, Bo, Jeff Power here. I want to talk about just the season as a whole. I mean, the fact that Lake Travis always plays a tough non-district schedule kind of gets you right for the rest of the season. I mean, opening up, beating a team like Arlington Martin, beating Converse Judson 52-20. When you play, you know, Rockwall, you play teams like that, then you cruise through your regular season, you get the big test with Westlake, and now you guys feel like you've kind of seen it all. Do you feel that when y'all are out there playing high school football, you've seen the best in the state, you know what to expect?
Yeah, I feel like we've definitely seen the best in the state, just going up against teams like Martin, Rockwall, Judson, and then obviously Westlake. I love playing those first tough three games just to see really how to compete and finish a game, because sometimes in those district games, the game gets out of hand a little early. But with those games, it's a four-quarter fight, and going into these next couple rounds of playoffs, it's going to be how every game's going to be. So just getting mentally prepared and physically prepared for those tough four-quarter battles, it's awesome.
You have a ton of great receiving targets, Norris, Bird, Estes, and, oh, by the way, another kid named Burton. who's a member of the IHS Fan Top 10 team, who has exploded the last three games, 8 touchdowns in the last three games. What are your thoughts on your receiving core?
I mean, they come to work every day. What I really like about them is they want to get better every time, every day, every play, every rep. So they get coached up good by Coach Alvarez, Coach Mangino. And then if I see something, I think of myself, I'm not hesitant to say, hey, like, let's fix this route a little bit. And then that ultimately gets everybody on the same page. And that's when people start blowing up.
And, Bo, you know, now that you guys are obviously in the playoffs, 3 rounds deep, I feel like it's kind of a rite of passage, you know, Lake Travis going deep into the postseason. You know, just huge wins over Cedar Ridge and East Central. Now you've got a big game against United South. And they're pretty good this year. They're 9-3 out of Laredo. Just thoughts about the matchup in general. You play 2 o'clock Friday afternoon. Back in the day, we used to say playing the day after Thanksgiving was a good, you know, that was a good measuring point. But for Lake Travis, that's just standard, right?
You know, that's what Coach Carter has been telling me. This is the longest I've ever played football, just from last year, and then haven't been able to play playoff football being in freshman. But it's awesome playing that. We'll have practice on Thanksgiving, just being with those guys for weeks longer. I mean, it's really special to soak in every last moment with the guys.
So Lake Travis quarterback is a legendary position, you know. The list includes a Heisman Trophy winner, numerous consecutive D1 players, tossed in a few NFL players. To see all the talented players that have been in your position, what are your thoughts on being the current holder of that job as the Lake Travis quarterback?
Yeah, you just got to carry on the legacy. I mean, those guys, you said the Heisman winner, a couple guys are in the NFL, a lot of guys played college football. I mean, it doesn't just happen. You got to come to work every day, willing to work, willing to put in the extra time. So, I mean, you just got to go in with the mindset. I mean, this is going to be a battle every day. So, I mean, that's what's gotten them successful, and I just look to do the same.
Hey, before we let you go, you know, Coach Carter is a great coach, but he's such a great man, too. What do you like most about playing for Coach Carter?
I like how straight up he is. He's going to tell you if you're wrong, and he's going to tell you when you're right, and he'll love you up for it. And even if he corrects you, he's still going to love you at the end of the day, and that's what great coaches are.
Man, what a great thought there, and I'm sure he would definitely appreciate it. Hey, good luck this week, and let's keep moving on, right?
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
All right. That was junior quarterback Bo Edmondson, a member of the IHS Fan Top 10 team, and very well-spoken,
polished.
And very polished, and, you know, what would you expect? He's a Lake Travis quarterback. Jeff, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we will talk with the great one, Hall of Fame broadcaster, Mr. Craig Way. You're listening to The Horn Under the Lights. Welcome back to Under the Lights, presented by ARS Rescue Ritter. We want to thank our guests so far, Michael Quintero, the head coach of the Cedar Park Timberwolves, Dr. Steve Wilson of Orthopedic Associates of Central Texas, and Bo Edmondson, QB1 of the Lake Travis Cavaliers. And before we get to our next guest, let me tell you about Austin Community College. Ever wonder where you'll be and what you'll be doing in a few years? You've got big dreams, but you need a plan. Austin Community College is a great place to get started on your future. Did you know you can take dual credit classes at ACC while you're still in high school? And those classes are free. Break up the boredom and get credits for your degree right now. That's pretty smart. If you're still thinking about majors or your future career, check out austincc.edu. You can explore hundreds of options like robotics, graphic design and animation, history, film, programming, culinary arts, auto repair, you name it. ACC offers affordable university transfer programs and hands-on training at 11 different campuses. ACC students and graduates are doing big things, and you can too. Visit austincc.edu and get to work on that plan. Apply now and be ready to grab classes as you need. That website again is austincc.edu. ACC, start here, get there. And we are really fortunate to have back on the show one of the best in the business, the voice of the Texas Longhorns, and also the voice of a lot of the most important high school football moments in the past several years, our good friend Craig Way. Craig, welcome back to Under the Lights.
Good to be on with you guys. How are you, Rick?
Wonderful, and happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. And, hey.
You as well.
Craig, you know, with our show, we shine the spotlight on Austin area high school football. So let's talk about some of the biggest stories and surprises of this season. We had a ton of new coaches, three alone in Leander ISD. We had Coach Todd Dodge, who I know you speak to each week on your show, announced that this was his swan song as the Chaps are trying to three-peat. And LBJ has been flawless as they try to improve on last season's fifth-round playoff loss to Lindale. What are your thoughts on the biggest surprises of 2021 and maybe a few of your thoughts on the season?
Well, Rick, I think that you touched on some of those, certainly to seeing how coaches would respond. Their programs up and running. That's important to see what Coach Quintero did, having the familiarity of being at Cedar Park before and then coming back in a head coaching role to continue that tradition. And it took them a little while to ramp up, clearly, to get used to everything. And they had a lot of youngsters, as we know. But they did a good job, and it shows. And the pedigree shows through with them getting to the Sweet 16. I think what Brian Herman has done at Marble Falls has been very impressive to get Marble Falls the farthest they've gotten in over 20 years. So I think that's been impressive to see. And then you mentioned LBJ and what Jamal Fenner has done with his guys to get them to not rest on the fact that they came within a whisker of going to the championship round a year ago, to simply say it's all unfinished and they've got work left to do, and they've lived the part all this season. I think all of those things come to mind, and a couple of other themes as well. But it's been impressive to see the way the area schools have responded. And here in the playoffs, I don't think there's any better story than what's happened at Bowie with what Jeff Abels has done there to get them to the Sweet 16. So there's been several really impressive stories that have been written in the greater Austin and Central Texas area this year.
Hey, Craig, you know, you've been a part of high school football for three decades. And I can remember going to do a story in Stephenville and the Can fans. You're like, oh, say hi to Art Briles for me. You know, just all the good old stories and all that stuff traveling around the state. Thoughts, you know, in general, how to be able to learn the entire state the way you do, I think blows a lot of people away. You know, just thoughts about, you know, the fact that, oh, and by the way, yeah, you're also the voice of the Texas Longhorns. I mean, it's just amazing what you're able to do week in, week out.
Well, Jeff, you and I were around one another back some 30 years ago there in the early 90s doing the old High School Extra show, which morphed eventually into what became High School Spotlight now on Bally Sports Southwest. And the show that I do on Friday nights, the High School Scoreboard Live, was an outgrowth of High School Extra Live, which, by the way, took its inspiration from the radio show I did in Dallas back in the 80s to early 90s there when I was just starting out. So, you know, it's just over time, some of it's osmosis. Obviously, there's a lot of study that went into it. But you know, like all of us, Rick's the same way. Jeff, you're the same way. When you have a passion for it, you throw yourself into it. You do a great deal of reading about it. You want to soak up as much as you can. You want to meet as many people as you can. And, you know, it's, I told that story a couple of weeks ago, that annual story. To me, it's almost like reading the night before Christmas when you get into the final week of the regular season. And I talk about tiebreakers and driving up to a truck stop in Decatur to witness a four-way coin flip. That was when I was a senior in college there back in 1984, and to see those four coaches scrambling around the floor with a coin. Those were those learning moments and those moments that stay with us. And so what they do is they feed your desire to learn an awful lot more about the game and to continue to do it. And then for me, being a play-by-play guy, getting an opportunity to call those games back in the day was a thrill, and it was a thrill to get to do it on major market radio, and an even bigger thrill now over these past, 25 years to do it on television. It's just been it's been a great, great run and an awful lot of fun. But it's like what you guys do. You get into it and you study it and you want to really soak it all up.
Absolutely. You know, hey, I want you to put your analyst hat on. You know, realignment is just a few months away. As the state continues to grow and more schools are opening up, and now the state's largest school, Allen, has a snapshot of 7,102 students. Oh, by the way, the next largest, Conroe, 4,725. So now 20 schools are over 3,500 students. What are your thoughts on if we are headed to the creation of a 7A conference?
Well, Rick, I think they're probably a little more open to the idea than they've been in the past. It's not so much about the nomenclature, the number, because we saw a few years ago when they bumped everybody up one just so they could take the six-man schools and call them 1A because a lot of the 1A, the six-man programs were playing 1A basketball anyway. It made it a lot easier to categorize to do it that way. So it's not so much that. The problem, as you guys both know, is how that population shift just kind of falls forward of east of that line down I-35. And you have so much of the population centers in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, the greater Houston area, Austin and San Antonio. And the few schools you do have out west that are of that population, the Odessa Permians and Midland Lees and some of those other ones out there, they're very few and far between, and the number continues to shrink. So I think what in talking to Dr. Charles Brightup, the executive director of the UIL, Jamie Harrison, his deputy director, Dr. Susan Elza, the director of athletics, what their charge and what their task is to try to find a creative way to where you keep the numbers equitable. Allen is kind of, you might say, an outsider, so to speak. That's different with them having 7,100. But a lot of the other schools kind of fall into closer range. Still in all, it's difficult to have a school with 2,200 try to compete with and go up against a school that has 3,800. It's just difficult athletically. So I think that's the challenge they're looking at. But I don't think they're opposed to it. There used to be more resistance to it, but it's not even those three great leaders of the UIL that I'm talking about, because the decisions are made by the Legislative Council. That's made up of the superintendents and leaders from all across the state of Texas. That's the heartbeat. That's the voting body of the UIL. The three folks that I mentioned are the administrators who help carry forward the plan. But it is those superintendents out in East Texas, West Texas, down in the Rio Grande Valley, who have to look at the hard numbers and see what works best for their schools and their programs. And I think that's where the groundswell will come.
You know, Craig, almost 20 million people attend high school football games on a given year in the state of Texas. I mean, do you find yourself explaining why Texas high school football is so popular, especially now that there's been this influx of people moving in from the West Coast into Texas? And do you find yourself really kind of lighting up when you talk about Texas high school football and how popular it is?
I always do, Jeff, and I'll tell you, it has the one unique quality that college and pro sports don't have. And don't get me wrong, obviously I love my day job and love calling the Longhorn games. What makes high school football and high school athletics more unique than, say, pro sports or college sports is it goes beyond just the actual football. It is the community growth. Jeff, you know, you had a daughter who was a star stepper at Vista Ridge. Both of my daughters were star steppers at Vista Ridge, and my second daughter was a captain there, and they were. It's about parents of kids who are in the band, those who are parents of kids who are cheerleaders, those who are parents in flag corps, all of those things. It's the other areas of outreach that grab onto the community beyond the football program, and then it becomes one big community centric thing. You guys both know, if you go to a state championship weekend in Arlington and you see, say, Canadian come down from the Texas Panhandle, and there's about 15,000 fans from West Texas and the Panhandle that because they have an interest in seeing how Canadian will do. That's the outreach into the community and the communities beyond, and that's what makes it different, I think, from the other sports. It's its own unique thing, and that's what makes it special.
Yeah, I've always said, you know, you and your neighbor could like different college teams, college allegiances, but you both like the same high school team. Before we let you go, Craig, a quick question and then a final question. You're the king of knowing all high school mascots. My favorite all time, the Itasca Wampus Cats. I want to get your favorite Texas high school mascot, and then I also want to ask you what your most memorable high school football call has been.
Well, first of all, and you and I have never talked about this, about the mascots, Rick, but that is my number one, is the Itasca Wampus Cats. I call it the quintessential mascot name because it's unique. It's unique to Texas. Now, there is one in Arkansas and there is one in Louisiana, but I also know the story behind it. Back when I was doing the radio scoreboard show in Dallas, a lady by the name of Nancy Bowman. At the time, she was a high school secretary, and then she became an administrator at the school. She first told the story, and she read it off a script because they used to do a feature called the Mascot Team Name of the Week and talked about it in the 20s with a young man named Trav Burke said, "Wow, we were really Wampus Cats." And then she said, silence fell over the hushed room. Everyone knew the mascot had been born. So there's all kinds of great names. I mean, we've got one in our backyard we're all used to in Hutto Hippos, but it's very, very unique. And there's the Canipa Purple Rock Crushers and the Rock Springs Angoras, and we can go on Grandview Zebras, and we can go on and on and on. But that's another part of what makes it really unique is just the fact that that those mascot names are something pretty special.
Well, Craig, we appreciate you taking time on this Thanksgiving week. We wish you all the best, and we thank you for all that you do for high school football. You're a legend, and I'm glad to call you my friend.
Well, same here, and I'm looking forward to it. And to answer your second question,
yes,
maybe it's the Hail Mary, Duncanville and North Shore, and hopefully, since I'm calling 8 of the 12 state championship games for television this year, maybe we'll have another memorable moment.
Well, I thought you were going to say when the cart ran down the center of the field after the game a few years ago.
DeCaney.
DeCaney.
Hey, coming up on the 10-year anniversary of that, and that was the night before my oldest daughter got married. So I've got all kinds of memories about that weekend.
I think that's your biggest ever clip on YouTube. It's been hit millions of times when the cart ran down the center. I was 15 feet away from that cart that night. But anyways, Craig, have a great Thanksgiving. We'll see you after the holiday.
The memorable words, there's been a disturbance on the field. Thanks, Craig.
All right, take care.
See you, Craig.
The great Craig Way. And, hey, when we come back, we're going to talk about all things playoff-related. You are listening to The Horn, Under the Lights. Welcome back to our final segment of Under the Lights, presented by ARS Rescue Ritter. I want to thank the great one, Craig Way, for just joining us that last segment. And let's go over last week's scores really quick, then we'll get right into this week's games and matchups. Bowie beat Smithson Valley 28-21. Lake Travis beat San Antonio East Central 56-14. Westlake beat New Braunfels 70-7. Vandergriff shut out Cibolo Steel 38-0. LBJ beat Calhoun 72-42. Marble Falls, a surprise team that we mentioned earlier, beat Mission Veterans 35-13. Alamo Heights beat McCallum 55-28. Katy Pato beat Maynard 58-22. Manville beat Weiss 41-31. Cedar Park got the win over Angleton, as we mentioned, 45-21. Rouse beat Floresville 59-19. And Liberty Hill beat Bernie Champion 51-14. And let's start right there, Jeff, with the Leander, with Rouse 11-1 versus Liberty Hill 10-2, 7 p.m. Friday night at the field. Your thoughts?
Oh, man, how about that's going to be fun? I mean, Liberty Hill with that, you know, wing tee against Rouse and their explosive offense, they're averaging more points than ever. I think about 50 a game. And the winner that gets Marble Falls or Alamo Heights, we could have a nice little region final right there out of right here in this Austin area. That'd be great.
Well, last year I was the PA announcer at that game at Kelly Reeves, where Liberty Hill won 56-42 last year in this round game. Rouse has scored 50 plus points in 7 of their 12 games. Liberty Hill 50 plus in 7 of 12 of their games. It should be a very high scoring match, and I look for Rouse to get the W.
That's at the field. That's going to be fun. I'd go check out that game if you're looking for a game this week, folks.
Absolutely. Marble Falls faces 12-0 Alamo Heights Friday night at Dripping Springs Tiger Stadium. They're getting a lot of teams wanting to play out there, 7 mm-hmm. p.m. Your thoughts on whether Marble Falls is going to be able to get the win there?
Well, as Craig said, one of the surprise teams this year. Why not? Keep it going. I certainly think they can win this game against Alamo Heights.
Then let's talk about the game we spoke a little bit about with Coach Quintero, Cedar Park versus Katy Pato Panthers. That is at 1 p.m. at Waller ISD Stadium. Cedar Park comes into the game a weird 7-5, where Coach said he could easily have a lot better record, but they're in that 11-5A district versus Katy Pato 11-1. Cedar Park is 20-0 in the playoffs when scoring at least 45 points. Your thoughts on that game?
Well, you know what? They've averaged 36 points per game in their last seven games. We talk about that Black Rain defense all the time, but their offense is coming together, and they had the big win over Johnson and then Angleton, two perennial powerhouses here. So, hey, keep it going. I mean, that game's Friday afternoon at 1, day after Thanksgiving.
LBJ plays the Bernie Greyhounds. LBJ, they have three common opponents. Not much we can decipher because both teams beat Canyon Lake, Fredericksburg, and Lavernia, both common opponents between Bernie and LBJ. I like what Coach Jamal Fenner is doing. You know, we talked about this earlier in the season. When you lose Makuba and McCutcheon and actually
get better?
I mean, is that even possible? They are on a mission that I called that game with Rodney Rodriguez where they lost to Lindale. They were ahead the whole game, and they let it slip away in the fourth quarter to go to Jerry World, and I think they're on a mission from that game. A
lot of team chemistry this year. I mean, this arguably could be the best LBJ team that we've seen here in about 20 to 30 years.
Well,
think about it.
It's the only undefeated regular season team ever in the history of LBJ. That goes back to the early 70s, Jeff.
I mean, we got two Austin ISD teams rolling with Bowie and LBJ. That's fantastic.
Exactly. Vandegrift plays Edinburgh Vela. Vandegrift comes into the game 11-1. Vela is undefeated. That's 4 p.m. at Corpus Christi's Cabanas Stadium. We were there. Don't like that stadium, by the way. I'm sorry, but
There's better stadiums,
believe me. But I like everything about Vandegrift. They are shooting for that matchup next week, possibly, against Westlake.
Yeah.
Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, we all want it to happen. I think, Vandegrift got that scare when they lost. Well, not a scare. They lost, obviously, to Round Rock for the second straight year. But I think Vandegrift has just been sensational all year long. They're, as a whole, I see they're going to keep it going.
Westlake plays at San Antonio's Alamo Dome at 4 p.m.
That's awesome.
And I don't think there's any chance that Westlake loses that game. They play Far San Juan Alamo North that game at the Alamo Dome. Then you're the Bowie Bulldogs. Coach Jeff Abels doing wonders there. Bowie's third trip to the third round. Bowie gave up 50 points in both third round games they played versus DeSoto and the Woodlands.
Coming off that win off Smithson Valley, did you see that coming? I mean, Smithson Valley is always really good. And I was surprised to see Bowie win that game and win it pretty handily.
7 p.m. at New Braunfels Cougar Stadium. Let's ride the Bowie Bulldogs.
Heck yeah, where do you go, Jeff?
Let's have an Austin area Bowie versus Lake Travis and Westlake versus Vandegrift. How would that sound? As Lake Travis 10-2 faces Laredo United South 9-3, 2 p.m. at San Antonio's Alamo Stadium. No chance that Lake Travis loses that game.
You think Jeff Abels could get an Undies Award this year?
He could. He's you know, I gave
coming
Jamal,
up.
Jamal Fenner is the current holder of the Coach of the Year Award.
He's done nothing to let it go.
He's
right?
done nothing to let it go. You know, but I don't know. We've never given a coach it twice in a row, so we like to spread the love. But Jeff, it's been a pleasure to have you back. Next week we're going to be back at our regular time, Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We will be at the Bush's Chicken out there near Bowie High School. So we'll have some fun out there. And, folks, get out and see some high school football. There's a lot of good Austin area teams remaining. We thank you for being part of the show. And shout out to Efren Sanchez, who we dedicate this show to. Much love to the Sanchez family as they're going through this. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Days ahead, won't be as bitter as the ones before.